You see, I've been a fool before. Not a fool around the world. 'Cause when it comes to love.
Hold on, beholder. Hold on, beholder. Hold on, beholder, the hand is broken. Come get your beating, did I not feed you? You're my boy and your god is evil. Point blank. Gas for air when there's two in here. Silent dates and torture, join me comrade. Dinner with dogs and kissing fat cats. Scraps and all for the cunning rats. Drawing blood and have a drink. Take a shot and then shoot, shooter. Take a shot and then shoot, shooter. Take a shot and then shoot.
Turn me up, say, 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 batter up, hey, 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 having enough is not enough, they say, choice is not a luxury, on this occasion definitely,
honestly, it is.
Green grasses and green grasses and green pastures, sandcastles, full throttle, something subtle, paper rubbles inside the grotto, mumble a cuss, say, stop all the dancing, nothing worth liking, lower than a bastard, bastard from the basket, burying the hatchet, how do you think she like it? She laid the chicken in the casket. How do you think she likes it?
Throwing caution to the wind. Letting love pass you by. Send a note to future self. Stay awake and alert. Hear the click, clang of the belts. The rustling in the leaves, my dear.
Thonic Boom on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I'm Gray.
I'm Aaron.
Today on the show, a very exciting show. We have our first band interview ever, Pale Red. That's going to be a bit later in the show because none of them are here yet. But for now, for the time being, we're going to play some other tracks, you know, some other stuff we like. So until then, you know, that song we just played was a song by one of my favorite contemporary groups, the band Young Fathers. Not exactly the stuff we normally play, but pretty good in my opinion. That's their new song, Soon Come Soon, and that's off an album that's not out yet called Plot 27.
And next up, we have a song by Vancouver band C. Diab, and the song is called Young Hums, and it's off their album Beacons.
So we hope you enjoy, and stay tuned.
future. Ooh, keep me in mind. Ooh, I will keep you in mind. Half remember. Ooh, half on to one another. Ooh, not a single fixed point.
Welcome back to Thonic Boom on CITR 101.9 FM in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. We have the local band Pale Red on. Would you like to say your names?
I'm Portia.
I'm Charlotte.
I'm Miles.
And yeah, it's Pale Red. So we just played a Pale Red song. What song was that?
That was Time's a Blob off the White Mink EP.
Thank you.
And I believe, was it Portia who chose that song?
Miles chose that one, actually.
My
he
bad.
Wants to talk
and
about how
he
time
wants to
is
talk
a
about,
blob.
So, feel free. Go on, please.
We usually introduce this song when we play live by saying simply, this song is about how time is a blob, and it's called Time's a Blob.
No one ever laughs. Like, not even a single giggle.
It's about, like, non-linear time, and the idea that... I think a lot of bands play with metronomes to sort of get on the same page. And the idea that you can avoid that and find a common ground between people is the idea behind it. Sort of
we meet each other. We figure out how fast we're going to go just by listening to each other.
Yeah, like there's no common place where we all can meet. We have to each anchor each other in this time blob.
Yeah. It does make it weird, though, because we're used to practicing all looking at each other, and then when we have to play and we're not able to make eye contact, we're all like, what's going on? I can't see my friend.
Has anyone influenced this idea to you, like a philosopher or something? Because that sounds like a pretty out there thing.
I don't know.
Where did you get that?
It's kind of an obvious idea, though, isn't it?
Like, no.
Well, it's
no such thing as an obvious
idea. It's
obvious
when you think about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But getting to thinking about it is sort of...
Yeah.
I had a roommate who would always say, time's a blob. He was one of my best buds, and he would just be like, well, you know, time's a blob, and he said it, and it just got in my brain, and also...
It's a good excuse if you're ever, like, late for something unavoidably. You're like, I'm so sorry, you know, time's a blob.
I just think it's a more constructive way to think about time. Like, it's more realistic. Because when you think of it in, like, a narrative linear line, it doesn't really work.
Well, yeah, because time doesn't even exist in a linear line, you know? It's a thing that people made up to try to...
And there are no reference points for anyone. Like, we all just sort of have to...
Experience it the way that you experience it, and everyone's on a totally different timeline.
Yeah.
It's super fluid. I really like thinking about time in that way, though.
It feels like something you're caught up in and not in something that's, like, rushing past you. It feels like being in a blob.
Yeah.
Do you believe that time is an actual thing? Do you think we have free will?
I don't.
Yeah, bland questions. Okay.
This is definitely the group that you should be addressing these questions
to. Oh, yeah. That or Stephen Hawking's band. I hear they wail.
Stephen Hawking has a part in the new Pink Floyd album, coincidentally.
Really?
What? Yeah.
So is Pink Floyd, like, kind of his band now?
Who knows?
I feel like he's
There's only two of the original Pink Floyd members in Pink Floyd. Yeah. Now, so.
At what point does it become more Stephen Hawking than Pink Floyd?
Pretty sure Stephen Hawking takes up more of space in anything than any of the members of Pink Floyd, to be honest.
Yeah, I certainly, like, his name comes up in conversation more than Pink Floyd does.
At least now.
Yeah. Unless you're on a Gulf island, and then it's like 50-50.
So, sort of in the same vein, do you guys have any other sort of non-musical influences that you think shape your sound or anything like that?
Yeah, I actually have a hard time, like, telling people what our genre is just because our influences do come from everywhere, like from books and from artists that we like.
Who are your favorite authors?
I like John Berger. I like a lot of poets, like Anne Sexton.
Yeah.
I like all kinds of shit.
Yeah. We all like those things. We're
all big readers, yeah. I have my master's in English, so I'm really into, like, the modernists. I'm really into Virginia Woolf, which loops right back into the idea that, like, time is super circular and that you can't experience it in a way that anyone else does. And she writes about that sort of interiority and that weird relationship with time in the best way. Like, it's so vivid.
Murakami, too.
Yeah, Murakami's really great. Yeah.
David Lynch.
Oh, David Lynch.
What's your favorite David Lynch movie?
Oh, man. He's my favorite director, I think. That's a
tough one.
It's got to be either Mulholland Drive or Blue Velvet or...
It's got to be one of the movies that he made. Yeah, see, I'm a Twin Peaks, I'm a diehard Twin Peaks
fan. They're bringing back Twin
Peaks. They sure are.
I'm so excited.
And it's going to be shot all on film, and that's the only information that he's released about
that's
it.
That's the best.
He's not going to say a word.
Did you see his conversation with Patti Smith last week? They were so cute. They were both just, like, so excited about what the others were saying. Like,
How do you guys feel about Eraserhead?
Miles and I had a bit part in a sitcom pilot in England that spoofed Eraserhead. And so for me, it's really tied up in, like, my aunt's relationship to David Lynch, which is all, like, slapstick and prop comedy. So I have a really weird relationship with Eraserhead.
Are you into any other surrealist, like, directors or movies or anything like that?
I like movies where I don't know what's coming or where I can't see ahead.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah, and it's sort of revealing itself to you as you watch. I find that really really evocative, especially when you don't know whether something is real or not. Like, when the movie is constantly trying to let you know that there's dreams and not dreams and that maybe they're both real.
Yeah, especially in Twin Peaks that happens a lot. Like, the man who comes to him in his dreams, and does he take or give the ring to him? I haven't watched it in a while.
He gives it to him, I believe. He's the giant, right?
Yeah, the giant. Like, because until then, I think, in my opinion, in the show, it's just kind of this spooky mystery, and then this, you know, giant guy comes in his dreams, and you're just like, wow, you know?
This, like, mystical event that is treated just as real as any of the other conversations.
And same with The Red Room, too. I mean, I think that's a little more in place, but...
Yeah.
I like anyone who makes art that, like, opens possibilities, that opens everything up.
Yeah.
Like, David Lynch does that amazingly.
Mm. My, like... sort of only requirement for really, really being into a movie is that it asks a question that it doesn't answer. Like, I want to be given that space to speculate. Mm-hmm. And so...
What movies do that for you?
Let's see,
I just watched Funny Games.
Oh my god.
That doesn't answer any questions.
That movie is, like, Michael, what is it? How do I even pronounce it?
Like, Haneke.
He's crazy. His movies are awesome.
We went to see Amour in theaters, and I, like, wept. We both left, and we were just, like, tears streaming down our faces. Like, just a horrific movie-watching event, but so beautiful and so sort of sensitively dealt with. And then the women ahead of us who were leaving the theater, one of them turned to the other one, well, that's not going to win any awards. It's just like, you so
if
missed
you can make
the
a
point of that.
Polarizing, then I think, like...
Yeah, you've got something.
You guys like Lars von Trier?
I have a love-hate relationship. Mainly hate.
Lars von Trier do Antichrist?
He did.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a movie.
That's a movie, yeah.
Miles had to watch that in like 4 installments because each time he'd be like, I can't do anymore. I gotta walk away.
I kept watching it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Alone.
To be fair,
in the dark.
I'm pretty sure that's when it's meant to be watched.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It creates the space of 2 o'clock in the morning, regardless of when you're watching it.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So earlier you guys mentioned Murakami. Have you read his new book that was released last year?
No, I've been waiting to hear anything about it.
Wait, what's it called?
I can't remember.
It's got a really unwieldy title.
Yeah.
Pilgrimage or something.
Something like that.
One thing I like about Murakami is how he references other books in his books, like Half Gone Ashore. Like what's the other one called? The one that's referenced to 1983.
Oh, 1Q84.
Yeah, 1Q84. Oh,
yeah.
84, my bad. Yeah.
My favorite one was Dance, Dance, Dance. You ever read that?
I haven't read that, no.
That's a good Murakami book.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he's so great. A collection of short stories of his.
Yeah.
On point.
Should we play a song?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll take a little break from the interview action, but when we come back, we'll be in full force.
Oh, yeah.
I can alleviate with my touch. Fred Durst?
He's like Iggy.
Oh, you are sorely mistaken. I
play something from $3 Bill, y'all.
What is that?
That's the landmark Limp Bizkit album.
Limp Bizkit? Oh my God! I mean, they...
Wait, you don't agree that those are the most crucial grooves you've heard since Funkadelic?
What, Limp Bizkit grooves? Yeah, absolutely.
It's
I know.
The ultimate cross between Funkadelic and Rob Tyner.
Yeah, no, I don't agree at all.
Oh, you do not deserve a radio show.
CITR 101.9 FM, your crucial groove station.
It's just a lot of BS.
Attention grad students, share your research, find out what's going on in other disciplines, approach your work from a new angle. Check out Fire Talks, the interdisciplinary discussion forum sponsored by the Research Commons at Kerner Library. Visit bit.ly/firetalk for more information.
Sophomore album Loungewear from the Portland duo Mel Brewers brings together the Zulu rhythms of Dionysian New Orleans street folk with the kinetic dub bluegrass of New York nerdcore. However, this decrepit rehash only tortures the nubile freshness of their debut, the Whack Jite Travelogues. This can only be seen as the decline of a nascent career before it has even begun to incline, and receives their lowest score yet, 7.4 Radioheads out of 10 Arcade Fires.
Want an alternative to music blogs? Discorder Magazine has been supporting Vancouver's independent music community for over 30 years. Come help keep local music journalism alive at the Discorder fundraiser and launch party this December 4th, featuring Rec Center, Skinny Kids, Other Jesus, and CITR's very own DJ Pop Tours. Doors are at 8, with $5 cover before 10 and $10 after. It's happening this Thursday, December 4th, at the Hindenburg, 23 West Cordova. December's best new fundraiser, as selected by Discorder editors.
And welcome back to Thonic Boom on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia. Again, we have the three members of Pale Red. We played a Pale Red song called Kappa, and they are here to talk about this song and what it means to them, so go right ahead.
Yeah, that was the Kappa. It was actually the first song we ever played together. These guys, who are, you know, they're like in love and stuff, they were living in England, and we were going to start a band when they got back, and I was just at home waiting for them to come home so we could start a band. And then that was the first song we played, and I had a recording of it so I could learn it, and we all got together.
When was this? When did you guys play it?
It was about a year ago that we would have. Yeah. You guys would have. About exactly a year ago that you guys would have first shown it to me. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's adorable.
We played it with our previous band that we had in Brighton in England, which was called Wolf Tits. We played like two shows and then we moved back to Canada and we're like, okay, bye, to our bassist and found.
Why were you guys in England?
My family lives there, and so we moved there just to sort of see what the music scene was doing and see what was up, and we lived there for like 6 months, and then we were like, time to go back.
Yeah. What is the music scene in?
There's a lot of electro swing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like burlesque type circus performery music, but there's also like a crazy like dub scene.
Oh, that's
lots
awesome.
Lots of club nights. There's amazing, amazing stuff going on there. It's sort of like the San Francisco of England.
Well, now that you guys are back in Vancouver, what sort of Vancouver local bands are you guys into recently?
Recently, I'm really into a guy called Wetface that we saw at Dynamo a few months ago. He put on maybe the most entertaining, like, single person playing music show I've ever seen in my life.
Especially since all of his gear wasn't working and he just made it all up. And he was like, that's not how it's actually supposed to be. It was still the best show ever. So that's saying something.
The last song, he made everybody leave the room. He was like, I want to play this one by myself. And everyone left. And he was just like playing piano in a room full of smoke. And everyone kept trying to sneak in. And he'd be like, no, get out of here. I'm doing this on my own. It was so good. He was so charming. So I really liked him. Who else do we like?
Hagface.
Hagface are amazing. They're from Calgary.
All the faces. Wetface.
Wetface, Hagface. We like bands that have wet or face in the name. So yeah, Rambone and the Wet Reality is Charlotte's other band, and they're also very, very rad. Yeah.
If you want to see some really great music videos in which I get stabbed in a bathtub, you can do so on the internet.
On the old YouTube. Yeah. Who else? We play with Mittens quite a bit and Yes Bear, who are like pretty different from us sound-wise, but it's a pretty good mesh to have us all together on a bill. Mainly because we're all just super enthusiastic and spend a lot of time just being like, you're the best. No, you're the best. Yeah.
We keep meeting nice people in bands, so we like playing with bands that are nice.
Yep.
Yeah. What are some bands you really like playing with, like, just at all?
I really like playing with bands who are, like, I'm from the same place and we have a lot of things to talk about. We played with Apollo Ghosts a couple times before they disbanded and became Cool TV and Tough Age, respectively. And all three of those are, like, amazing, amazing bands to pursue. If you're listening for local music, Apollo Ghosts, they're so good.
What are some, just not really on the topic of local music, what are just some bands in general that influenced your sound or way of life, either way?
We're really into Phil Spector. Like, not into him as a person, obviously not into him as a person, but his ear is amazing, was amazing. And so we listen to a lot of like 60s girl group type stuff. As a result of that, Miles is really into Iggy Pop. I'm really into Kate Bush. We've got a lot of sounds.
We do like the 60s thing, the 60s girl bands, mm-hmm. Shangri-Las, Ronettes, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Also like you know, Velvet Underground.
Yeah.
Stuff. Violent Femmes.
I'm not sure. Did you like the Phil Spector mix of Let It Be by the Beatles?
Well,
I don't think I heard that.
I don't think I did either.
No. Basically what happened was Phil Spector, they made this, so the Beatles made it for their last album, this, you know, kind of a slow acoustic, whatever, mm-hmm. and the label gave it to Phil Spector. He added strings and, you know, reverb, whatever he adds to his music, and Paul McCartney hated it. He absolutely hated it. All the Beatles hated it. So they made, like, another version of it that just without Phil Spector. And pretty much everyone hates the Phil Spector version, but, like,
I think,
why?
I think the bands and the groups that I like most are the people that are, like, it can be hated.
Yeah, definitely.
I really like music that gives you room to violently disagree with it. And, like, just really... I mean, as musicians, we find that the less our moms like our music, the better we like it. Like, so whenever my dad's like, that is terrible, I'm like, okay, we're moving in the right direction, guys. Just keep going.
Do you mean, like, musically or, like... If an artist says a lot of disagreeable stuff.
Oh, no, I mean musically. That. Like, disagreeable people I don't find particularly interesting, but music where you listen to it and you either are like, this is amazing, or this is the worst, I at least find it interesting.
Yeah, it's nice when something makes you have an opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of my favorite Iggy Pop songs are the ones where he's just being stupid for stupid
sake. Yeah.
And well, it can be really offensive.
Yeah, super offensive. But that's Iggy Pop, you know?
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. He's great, though.
Pushing buttons. Changing lives.
Changing lives.
So, Iggy Pop. What's your favorite Iggy Pop album?
I like Soldier and New Values.
Oh. Yeah. I don't think I've heard either of those.
Yeah, they're not so popular. They're kind of more like early 80s stuff.
Are you into the Stooges as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess my favorite one would be Raw Power, but that's just the one that everyone says. So. Yeah.
You hate to say what everyone would say.
Yeah. But so, I like any Iggy Pop album. Anyone where he starts the album by making a terrible noise. Yeah,
we do like just like guttural sounds that come out of humans.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And that's definitely something that we are playing around with in music. It's just like...
Also like drums that don't sound like drums. You know, like when a drum sounds real like that.
Who influenced that, do you think?
Huh?
Who influenced that to you guys?
Probably the fact that I don't have a proper drum kit like, yeah. really influenced
the
it.
We can't afford nice stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Drums. Like, I play a tom and a snare, and I usually keep a sweatshirt over my snare and a goat skin over my tom, and so they both just sound like wet cardboard boxes, but the sound
that's
that
good,
I like.
Now, if it sounds unique, then it will sound better than some highly produced frickin'.
We definitely show up to shows, and whoever's drumming in the other bands of the night is like, what are you doing? And I'm like, just trust me. Or don't. I don't know what I'm doing.
Do you guys know Captain Beefheart?
Oh, yeah.
In Trout Mask Grappling, he put cardboard on the cymbals.
Yeah.
Just to try to make it sound like... Yeah.
Well, yeah, my favorite crazy. Percussive sound is on old, like, John Lee Hooker songs where he's just tapping his foot on a box of wood.
Yeah.
I love that sound. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, on definitely. Our, like, long ago folk album that we made as
a
teenagers. Oh, God. It's aged. It definitely has. But one of the, like, major percussive instruments that we used was a railroad spike on a cookie jar lid.
How did you get a railroad spike?
There's
pulled
a railroad.
Pulled it literally out of the track. Like, I used to collect
hopefully
them.
No one will die. Yeah, so just banging this like tin lid, and we still have it. It's hanging on the wall at home, and it's just like beaten completely beyond recognition. It's just like super messed up from all the banging. Yeah.
So how long have you guys been playing music together or just doing anything musical together?
Quite a long time. Since we were teenagers, pretty
yeah,
much.
So probably around 10 years.
Yeah, wow. Getting yeah. to the decade of friendship mark. Feels good.
Yeah, we played in lots of different combinations, like Miles and Charlotte were in a band called Handsome and the Horribles, and then we were all in a band called Miles Black and the Pearly Whites, which is where we did our folk stuff. A lot of, like, whistle solos and ukulele bits. And
yeah, there were 9 people in that band.
Oh, it was so unwieldy.
It was a small little island. I moved there, and all the kids, like, a bunch of them just played music. There was a couple who were just all so bored that they just all got really, really good at their respective instruments.
Yeah.
They would all play.
What marked your change from playing folk to playing what you play now?
It's been a very slow, natural progression.
Yeah.
It just
yeah.
keep getting weirder and louder.
Yeah.
I think it was after making the last record we made as the Pearly Whites, where when it came out, it just sounded really produced. It sounded way cleaner than we had anticipated. And so none of us listened to that record. And after making something that you're like, I don't like that. Why did I make that thing that I'm not into? We really needed to just like radically shift what we were doing. So the band broke up and we all went our separate ways for a couple years and then came back with all the new things that we'd listened to and decided.
What about it was so overproduced to you guys?
I feel like I don't want to sound clean ever again.
I know
yeah.
what you mean.
It doesn't seem real, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And a big part of that was that we were recording it one person at a time because there was 9 of us and there wasn't room
were
in
you
the studio.
Like what were you guys recording on?
We were in like a nice studio with like real gear and all that, and so everything just sounded so well recorded
because it was all puzzle pieces together instead of being this like
where all of our music now is recorded on like a crappy cell phone in the jam room, and then we just put it straight up on the Bandcamp without even like looking at it or trying to make it perfect or anything like that, and that kind of immediate release is so much more fun for us to just like. Just put it out there and see what happens.
Yeah.
The idea that you don't have to labor over it and make it perfect.
Yeah.
I don't think
it's fine the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we'll probably do all of our recordings live.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why we would not do that, because we need the vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially seeing as we don't, like, use a metronome, as you were saying. Like, we all rely on this very specific timing that just happens in the moment.
People always used to get at me and be like, oh, like, your songs don't, like, they speed up towards the end, or, like, it doesn't quite... That's how it works. You know?
Yeah,
you get excited towards the end and you start going faster.
Because I find like listening to live performances is way more exciting than listening to recorded, because like you don't know what's gonna happen. You know, these people are playing together and they're improvising,
we don't know what's
bouncing
gonna
off
happen.
Each other.
Yeah, every time it's different.
You guys try to improvise at your shows?
We have a lot of songs where we'll have a section and say, like, here is where we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
We're just going to end it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Purposely fact, unfinished ones.
Should we play Raw Data as the next song and give an example of that, where it's a song where we just sort of get...
You guys want to play Raw Data?
I think we should do that as the third song.
So we're going to play the song Raw Data. We'll be back in a couple minutes, probably, with Pale Red again in the studio. So, yeah.
Tune in.
Do it all the time. I make shit up. I'm always in a state of flux. I could control but don't. I take care of my identity, but I don't take care of my body. This shit may appear functional, but inside it's rotting. But I can do no wrong, I can do no wrong. Hypersensitive to the spirit of song. I can do no wrong, I can do no wrong. Highly attuned to the spirit of song. Perfectly composed, sitting on the bathroom floor, breathing our own smoke. I come undone, I come undone. Complete and personal communication. I don't wanna be a one-sided man. I wanna move in every direction I can. I wanna be an aberration. I can do no wrong, I can do no wrong. Hypersensitive to the spirit of song. I can do no wrong, I can do no wrong. Highly attuned to the spirit of song. I can do no wrong, I can do no wrong. Hypersensitive to the spirit of song. This shit for the radio.
We give you raw data.
We don't change our sound for anyone.
We give you raw data.
I can do no wrong, I can do no wrong.
Hypersensitive to the spirit of song. I can do no wrong, I can do no wrong. Highly attuned to the spirit of song. I can do no wrong, I can do no wrong. Hypersensitive to the spirit of song. I can do no wrong, I can do no wrong. Highly attuned to the spirit of song. We give you, 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 we give you.
I come undone, I come undone, I come undone, I come.
And welcome back to Thonic Boom on CITR 101.9. You know what it is, anyway. Again with Pale Red, and we just played the song by Pale Red, Voyeurs. Did I pronounce that right?
No, that wasn't the Voyeurs. Oh, that was Raw Data. We changed
Raw Data,
the idea. Changed it because the conversation went awry.
You know, that happens, you know, it's an interview.
It really does.
We were trying so hard to talk about something particular.
Yeah. But that shouldn't be expected to happen. So.
It's true. Not. You've got to leave room for detours, I think, especially in conversation.
Yeah.
Because you never know where you're going to go.
So what do you guys see as the next step for Pale Red, the future?
The future.
Yeah.
The future is to continue, to keep going, to keep playing shows.
Yeah. We want to get into a studio at some point and do some live recordings, but with, like, somebody else pushing record on the phone or whatever.
Is the next step. We're ready to record now. We just need money.
Money and time. Money and time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't have any of that stuff.
We're hoping to get into maybe the Noise Floor, which is on Gabriola. They moved there recently, and Terry and Jordan, who run it, are really, really sweet and have, like, amazing aesthetics, so hopefully we'll be able to get in with them and have a little sesh.
Mm-hmm.
That would be super fun.
Are you guys ever planning to sell out, or are you gonna?
If the opportunity arises, I'll sign away my soul.
What band hasn't sold out, though? Honestly, like.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference between selling out and just selling something?
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like a lot of the most interesting artists that I know are people who definitely value commodification and are willing to,
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
To, well, just who doesn't want to make a living off of doing what they like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's everyone's dream, but
no matter what that is.
Yeah. Art isn't really usually attributed much of a dollar value, so it's hard to,
when
you have
to
fit yourself in. Yeah. Yeah,
like
how Iggy Pop's
like,
broke right now.
Yeah,
he's broke. He's completely broke. He doesn't have any
money.
He's
trying to do stuff with the Stooges still, and it's, you know, it's horrendous.
Yeah. Lemmy hangs out in a bar all day playing Keno. Like, it's not all glamorous.
The guy from Creed?
Yeah, the guy
I heard
from
isn't
Creed
doing too well.
Broke. He's living at a Holiday Inn.
Yep.
But honestly, what do you think's going to happen to Creed? You know what I mean?
I know. I was actually surprised to hear from him, you know, after all these years.
I kind of feel like all the things that are going to happen to Creed have kind of happened to Creed.
Yeah.
And so now we can stop.
Whatever happened to Nickelback? Honestly.
For some reason, I watched an episode of him on Cribs in, like, 2005. Pre-Avril and everything. It was pretty good.
They divorced.
They did divorce. Canadian royalty. The nation mourns.
Yeah, but, you know, Nickelback. I don't think anyone ever expected Creed or Nickelback to really do anything. Yeah.
And they have lived up to that promise.
Yeah, exactly, you know?
But, like, how amazing would it be if either of those bands released an album that completely surprised you and was like, okay, this is weird. Like, I just feel like someone needs to, you know, trap them in a mansion and give them a whole bunch of LSD and just, like, see what happens.
But that's your solution to everything.
That is my solution to everything. It's tax time again.
I gotta do the dishes.
Oh, well.
Let's go to the mansion.
Time's a blob.
Do you believe that if a band gets a major label deal and then starts making bad albums, do you believe that those things are always directly correlated, or?
No. And also, I think that bad albums are just as interesting as good albums. Like, I was listening to a Kate Bush record in a store the other day, and the first song, she's singing in this, like, Australian accent about Aboriginal people, and I was like,
nice.
Oh my god, this is so bad, it's so offensive and weird, and, like,
that's
why is she
Bush,
doing
though.
It? But it's so Kate Bush, right? And so it's interesting to see what she did, and, like, Joni Mitchell, she couldn't keep making folk records forever, like, she had to go somewhere weird, and it doesn't matter that nobody likes it, because at least she's following whatever interests are, like, stimulating her.
Yeah, I find that cool. Like, well, I think there's a difference between an album that's just bad and an album that's, like polarizingly bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Billy, do you know Billy Ray Cyrus?
Yeah.
Like, he made a rap song, right? Like, that's,
oh, yeah,
right. That's not bad. That's just so bad that it becomes something you just want to, like, look at. Like, it's a
zoo.
Like,
right.
You're like, what's going on? How did this happen?
Yeah.
Who let you do that?
And no one ever, like, thinks that they made a bad record either.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
there's
not really...
That's not
true. No,
thank
I mean,
we know it
but I mean, there's
like,
in a way, there's no such thing as a bad record because...
It's off to interpretation. Yeah.
And it's all just an attempt. I mean, communication is such a fleeting ability that you do just have to, like, try and make
totally.
The sounds that you feel, and then hopefully somebody else gets it at,
like,
all.
Like Rivers Cuomo, you know, Weezer?
Yeah, yeah.
And they came out with like, Pinkerton, right?
Pinkerton, yeah.
It got, you know, horrendous reviews.
And was,
so,
like, a cult classic.
No, it, like, 10 years later, and Rivers Cuomo said, like, he hated it. You know, no one... I'm going over myself.
Weezer passion. It happens to us
all.
It
had nothing to do with it. And then when it's getting all this cult fame, he's like, oh, yeah, I love Pinkerton. I was lying when I said I hated it.
Yeah,
and
then,
like,
you look at it again from, like, a feminist perspective or a racial perspective, and you're like, there is problematic stuff going on here.
It sounds, it's very personal, though. It really sounds like a college student.
Totally.
Like, you know, just kind of singing what he
wants
to sing about. You know what I mean? Like,
and I'm sure he wouldn't write any of those songs now because his life is very, very different. And so it's this, like, document that shows, like, oh, at one time you really objectified half Asian girls. Cool. Now you don't do that anymore, maybe? Maybe? And here's
Cuomo
the document.
Seems to be in a weird place in his life right now. Like, Weezer came out with their only, like, well-received album in about 10 years, and he's kind of just riding off the wave of that and playing clubs.
Yeah.
Know?
think he released an album in Japanese.
Yeah, he released an album in Japanese. He's really into that kind of stuff, I guess.
Well, I think he did marry a Japanese woman.
Woman he married was actually Elliot Smith's girlfriend at the time that he
died. Brutal.
Yeah, that is brutal.
But the question on everyone's mind, does she shred the cello?
Do you guys like Elliot Smith?
Yeah.
We played a house show recently where we were talking about Elliot Smith because Miles went through a pretty hefty Elliot Smith phase in high school and like had a few songs that veered on like imitative and then moved away from it, which you do as you're like learning to play an instrument.
He is one of the most like imitative guys. Whenever you walk down the streets in Victoria, you'll see kids busking his songs.
Totally. I feel like he taught me how to write songs when I was like 14. Like that was like
and then you're like thanks for the start.
Me too. Now I can't do it anymore.
But he is brilliant.
He is brilliant.
Yeah, I really because his stuff is so personal, you know? He wouldn't always care about how, like, complex his music is. It's just him singing from the heart.
Yeah.
It's a sad case of him, though, you know? Like,
mental
health is something that isn't really covered in media.
And it's so present within, especially within, like, art and music. It's such a prevalent issue that people don't know how to talk about.
Yeah. And it's, like, we've seen awareness on a lot of other issues over the past, whatever, you know, few decades, except for mental awareness, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, should we play another song?
Yeah, sure.
So we're going to play the song Voyeurs, and we'll be back, or we'll be back, just to say goodbye.
We'll be back.
Thank you for listening, though. Goodbye.
It's like thunder. It's like lightning. The way that you love me. It's frightening. Thank you.
I held up my hands. To my face. I peered through my fingers and so framed my life in equal parts, dark and light. I was a fool. Always watching what I wasn't meant to watch, dying. Me now.
Watch me.
Watch me.